1. The day began like any other, and would have continued being the same boring slide into obscurity for out-of-work math teacher Ethan McLeod, living in Chadron, Nebraska, except his mother called. She never called. He always called her, and only on Sundays. He stared at the phone. 7 on a Tuesday night. It rang again. They'd talked 2 days ago, and everything had seemed normal. On the 4th ring, he answered it. Ethan, it's your mother. So formal, so obvious. Hi. Something had to be wrong. What's up?
It's your father.
What about him?
He wants to speak with you. He says you have to come here. He says you have to come here now.
Mom, what is it? Her voice was tight. She was clearly nervous.
I don't know. He won't tell me anything. Can you come, Ethan? Do you have the time?
He thought about his time. He had nothing but time. He hadn't told them he'd been laid off, though. He knew he'd have to, eventually, but they'd been so proud he'd gotten a job, even if it was in a town no one had ever heard of.
Yeah, Mom, I have time. When can you come?
How soon do you want me? He could hear her pause. Then she said,
Ethan, he's been acting strange.
Ethan was the youngest of 5 kids. His father was in his 70s and had seemed to be teetering on the edge of dementia. Most of the time it was just weird, unexplainable things.
What do you mean by strange? He keeps asking me.
She sighed again.
Never mind. Can you come tomorrow?
His parents lived in the same house in which he'd grown up, in the northwest Denver suburb of Arvada.
Yeah, Mom. If I leave at 7, I can be there by noon. Okay. Please do.
Still so formal. Ethan decided to press. Why the rush, Mom? Is he okay?
Like always. You know your father is a little weird.
Sure, but Mom, why the rush?
He seems to be obsessed.
With what?
He keeps asking if I've seen a 6-fingered man.
The 5-hour trip to Arvada took 3.5 hours. Ethan couldn't sleep at all, so at 2 in the morning he packed a bag full of clothes and his laptop and headed out. Interstate 25 was clear, except for the occasional long-haul trucker. He found one doing 80 and tucked in behind him, trusting that if they were spotted by a highway patrolman, the bigger target would get the most attention. He turned on Coast to Coast AM and began listening to the conspiracy theories of George Norrie. His father had always liked listening to them, sometimes even recording episodes for long family trips. Back then, the narrator had been Art Bell. Ethan's logical mind had made him poke fun at the crazy assertions that aliens were among the human race, the government knew about UFOs, and that Bigfoot was real. His father had taken Ethan's good-natured jibes with laughter, but it had never stopped him from listening. Now Ethan felt a kinship with the man he used to think foolish for wasting his time listening to tall tales when they could have been listening to Stone Temple Pilots or Pearl Jam. Ethan arrived at his childhood home just before 6 in the morning. He parked at the curb and let himself in. He dropped his bag on the dining room table, went into the kitchen, and made a pot of coffee. All the way there, he'd been wondering what the connection was and why his father was concerned about a 6-fingered man. It was too much of a coincidence. Norrie had had nothing to say on his radio program about giants. Instead, the entire episode was dedicated to the hole to hell that had evidently been found in Siberia. The purported sounds of a billion souls screaming still raised goosebumps along his spine.